Today is Friday, March 29th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. It's not just any old Friday. It is Good Friday. We'll have that top story and pretty much that on today's podcast, where we normally bring you news from a Christian perspective. Going to do things a little bit differently today. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can email us, as always, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me now today on this Good Friday, Billy Hallowell, Trey Gones Phillips. Guys, going to do it a little differently today for Good Friday. How's it going?
Doing well. Yeah, I love switching it up.
Yeah, it's good to be here on this Good Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just thought it would be appropriate to get our hearts and minds set. Starting the day, we'll have plenty of other times to go through the news of the day. But instead of focusing on that and focusing on our focus story, I would rather get you instead having your eyes fixed on Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross for us. And CBN's Andrew Knox has a great retelling of the Good Friday story. We're going to play that here on today's Quick Start podcast to get you in the right mindset as we head into this Easter weekend.
By the time the iron nail, which was about 7 inches long, was driven into his wrist, Jesus had already carried the near 100-pound crossbar hundreds of yards, and he'd been savagely beaten, flesh torn from his body, even before his agonizing walk began. Just as Isaiah had prophesied, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The soldiers of the governor had made sure to take the time to humiliate him when they'd had Jesus all to themselves. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. Now atop the hill, it's doubtful Jesus saw the hammer being raised high above his head through his swollen, blood-soaked eyes. Still, it came down with ferocious venom pounding through his flesh. By this time, the Romans had perfected crucifixion. Like a demented surgeon, the Roman warrior felt for space between the bones of the forearm, the precise spot that would not sever arteries. He must be exact, as the location of this nail must support the weight of Jesus without tearing apart his flesh. I wonder, could Jesus hear the clang of the hammer and nail above screaming jeers and taunts of a hateful crowd, or over the sobbing of those who dared still follow him? As one soldier hammers, another prepares the feet of Jesus for a similar fate, while yet a third laughs, only to spit in his face. The soldier's saliva crawls down the side of Christ's cheek, quickly swallowed up by pools of blood collecting beneath the crossbar Jesus is now stretched out upon. Listen carefully now. The sounds are haunting. Too exhausted to scream, our Savior groans weakly. When he can muster enough courage, he breathes deeply. Each breath brings excruciating pain. The steady rhythm of his blood drips to the ground. This prepares the landscape for violent tremors soon to come. The clang of the iron nail driven into his other wrist cues the sun that it's almost time to disappear, hide from view, and be replaced with the eerie substitute of darkness. They lift him now. A new torture begins as his cross slowly rises and slams into the ground into an erect position. His crown of thorns digs deeper into flesh and skull. With the exception of a few taunts, it grows quieter. Jesus opens an eye just wide enough to see soldiers gamble for his garments, just as David penned 1,000 years before. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Days before, desperate people reached through crowds simply to touch his clothes and seek the miraculous. Now those clothes are just prizes to be won. The divine nature of Jesus is heard in his prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the human nature of Jesus is heard in his lament, "I'm thirsty." The smell of wine vinegar emanates from a jug beneath the cross, and a soaked sponge is lifted to his lips. After committing his spirit to his Father, Jesus declares, "It is finished." The sound of thunder moves in while the sun disappears. Down the mountain and across the road, a Roman soldier collecting the instruments of torture they'd used on Jesus hours before is alarmed by the sudden darkness over the mountain above. Then he hears it as the thunder briefly ceases. The curtain of the temple torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth beneath him splits open. The smell of death rests on the mountain. The body on the cross is still. There is no movement now. Just a continual streaming of blood. Drip by drip, the blood of Christ falls and splatters on the ground. Each drop carrying the assurance that he loves us beyond measure. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is why the crucifixion matters. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. This is life-changing news. Yet the brutal death and sacrifice of Christ is not the end of the story. There's greater things in store, and it's just a few days away.
Awesome retelling of Good Friday there by Andrew Knox. Really, it really hits you. If it doesn't hit you, I don't know. I don't know what's going on inside of you, but that to think about what Jesus did for us on the cross and the actual physical pain that he went through willingly and didn't have to go through for us. It's just truly, truly humbling and truly, truly awesome. And that was a really, really powerful telling right there. And of course, as the great pastor S.M. Lockridge said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. That's absolutely true. Of course, we know that this is Easter weekend. Guys, your reaction to that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really easy to take the story for granted when you hear it as a story, or, you know, when you even reading it, you know, it's easy to read it so many times that you don't ponder it and let it get into your heart and really think about it. When you hear the way that it was delivered and you think through and you imagine the descriptions of what was actually happening, right? Not a cartoonified version of it, not a dumbing down of it, the actual, and that's why The Passion of the Christ, when you think back, that film was so powerful for people because they saw what very likely would have happened. And so that visual nature, whether it's, you know, imagining it or actually seeing it, I think it brings us back to that truth of what was done for us. And so I found that incredibly powerful to listen to.
And I also think the thing that sets the one true God apart from all the false gods of the earth is there's one God, the one true God, who is willing to, you know, condescend down to earth to face this kind of abuse and just to have all of these vile things done to him. The one true God did all of that for us. And I think, you know, reflecting on that on Good Friday, it's important. I think it's a dark day, so it's hard to reflect sometimes on that and to really think about what our Savior went through, but it humanizes him. It reminds us that he was both fully God and fully man. And I think that's really, really important to remember. And it's called Good Friday because, like you were saying earlier, Dan, we know what's coming. We know that he's going to rise again, that this is not the end of the story, but this is just the beginning of the forgiveness that he's guaranteeing for those who trust in him as their Savior. So what a day to rejoice this is.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% well said, and definitely where our hearts and minds should be today. And on our main thing today here, I want to get over to that now, but let's head on over to that. Trey, you have a great interview here with Ben Hilden. Tell me a little bit about this story we're about to hear.
Yeah, so Ben Hilden is from North Dakota. 2007, he was in a near-fatal car accident. He was given a 5% chance of surviving. You'll hear him talk about it in detail. He was said by doctors he would be dead by Easter Sunday, and on Monday he began a miraculous recovery. So this is just going through that journey and how his faith has grown in the years since.
Really great story of faith and really miracles here, which obviously is a lot of what this weekend is about. So that conversation is today's main thing.
Ben Hilden, thank you so much for being here to talk with us. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Look, it's good to talk to you. You have an incredible story. You've written about it before, but for people who don't know exactly what happened in 2007, you were involved in what really ultimately was a pretty close to fatal car accident. Talk a bit about that, about what actually happened in 2007.
So I was a sophomore in high school, and it was Good Friday, actually. And I was going into a back therapy appointment, and I was late. And so when I was late for school or an appointment, I'd always take this back road, this gravel road. That's usually only taken during harvest or like during planting season, because I grew up on a farm. So I was going into my hometown of Park River, and I had taken that road hundreds of times in my life, and I'd never lost control. And on that day, I remember the road was like half ice, and I lost control on ice, and then I thought I could get it back, but I didn't, and went down the ditch, hit an approach, and flipped my car into a field numerous times. And then I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, so I was ejected out the passenger door and went face first into the field. And when my face made impact, that was kind of when I knew internally that my life was now different. Like, it was just like a instant, like everything changed, you know, as far as like where my life was going, who I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, you know. And I never could have dreamt that my life would end up like this, you know, sharing it, you know, for my job now and everything. So for me, when I was laying there, you know, it's like I understood where I was, I understood what had happened, and I understood also that no one's gonna find me, because I'm in a random field on a back road on a Good Friday. You know, there's no school, nothing's going on. Like, who's going to come find me? And so I laid there, had no hope at all. And ironically, in my mind at that time, there was two people I wanted to see before I knew I was going to die, because I didn't understand why exactly I was suffocating. But later on, obviously, after all the surgeries and came out of my coma, I found out that I had bit through my tongue, and I was swallowing all the blood into my lungs instead of my stomach. That was why I was suffocating. And so I knew I was going to die. And so I began crawling, hoping to get home to see my parents one last time, because me and my parents at that time in my life weren't really on good terms. We'd always fight, because I was really into sports. And on the farm, it was a family farm, so you had to help on the farm, and I didn't want to. And so those are the two people I wanted to see before I died. And ironically, those two people were the ones that showed up to find me. Spiritually speaking, I believe that they were led there 100%, because, I mean, they don't ever take that road even now. They never take that road into town. And on that day, they decided to take that road 5 minutes after me. Had no clue I was in a car accident. They thought I was already in Park River. And this ended up finding me. My mom came out first off, had no idea it was me, because my face was so swollen and distorted and full of blood. And then she finally saw my feet, and that was when she realized it was me in front of her. And so that was when I received my first prayers. You know, and that's why I believe that I'm here, because of prayer.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, what was your journey like spiritually? Where were you in your relationship with the Lord prior to this accident? And how did this accident ultimately change your perspective on faith and your relationship with the Lord?
Well, I would say it was like my accident, everything I've been through, all of my trials, you know, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, everything. It's broken me down. I mean, it's crushed me at different points in my life, to points where I wanted to commit suicide at different points, where I just didn't want to live anymore because life was too hard. It was too painful. But during those times, that was when I realized there was a God, because I was so broken. I had nothing left that I personally could give as a human being to anything. And he was all that was left. And it was crazy, because you'd think you'd meet God at the good times in life, but that hasn't been the case. It's been when I'm the most broken, the most empty, is when I've seen the Lord the most clearly. And it's just, it's a miracle to me, because before my accident, I would say I was religious. I would say I went to church. I did all the things that you're supposed to do. But it was more so just like a checklist. Like, okay, I did that. That's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. But truly, when it comes down to it, what I've understood as I've been broken down, and I guess essentially you would say resurrected into my new self in Christ through faith, it's all about what's inside you. You know, it's all about your faith, and what's truly important is your belief and how that changes you on the inside and who you become, what you do when you become that new person. And so it's not so much about doing the checklist of the Christian things anymore. It's more so about, like, truly staying in faith, like staying in the Holy Spirit, living your life through the Lord. And, you know, from that, you get love, the greatest gift of all, and to love, to truly love your neighbor, and to truly show the world that there is a God by how you live your life and how you speak, what you do, you know, just your new self. That's the evidence that there's a God, you know. And that's to me, overall, that's what I've learned the most, is how I've changed, is spiritually speaking on the inside, which has changed everything else.
The last question I want to ask you, Ben, is we're obviously several years removed from the accident. There have been many Good Fridays and many Easters in the years since this accident, which, by the way, you had a 5% chance of surviving. So just the fact that you're alive today is a huge miracle, and I don't want to understate that. But what do you think about the significance, as we're rounding out the conversation, the significance of the fact that this accident happened on Good Friday in 2007?
Yeah, it's always been something to me that's been kind of mind-boggling, I guess you'd say. Honestly, it's hard. I mean, the way God, you know, it's hard to know how things all play out, and how, you know, what, how much he planned, or, you know, how much was going into it, where but it's just crazy. You know, I was not where I should have been in my life at 16. I know that was a big wake-up call for what happened that day, and how he saved me numerous times, whether it's the field or when my lungs collapsed during surgery, or afterward through many different things. But just the fact that I had my accident on Good Friday, and I was supposed to die by Easter, like the doctors gave me a 5% chance to live through the next 3 days. So by Easter, they said I would be dead. But instead, on Monday, I actually began to rapidly heal. And I was out of the ICU the next Thursday. And so, you know, to me, it's special. It's really special. I mean, just to how things all played out with Good Friday and Easter, and just my whole life in general now, and what I'm doing, and, like, how God's using me to you know, proclaim the gospel and to show the gospel through my life, you know, who I become from the accident. And so to me, yeah, it's pretty hard to even understand, you know, how God scripted everything and played out, my parents finding me and all the dates, how it all lined up perfectly to what it is. But it makes it into a pretty good story, and it's, you know, that's why I love sharing it, because I mean, it's something that is definitely God had his hand in all of this, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben Hilden, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today. The book is Finding Faith in the Field. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me.
Powerful interview there. I mean, really just evidence of God's goodness. And as he was saying, just evidence of God when you see him show up in situations like that. It's just absolutely remarkable. Great story for this Easter weekend. All right, we're going to have time here in the pod for one last thing. I wanted to leave us with these couple verses from Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I just looking back in Isaiah and seeing verses like this in the Old Testament, guys, incredible to see that fulfilled through the death and resurrection of Christ. But a good verse, obviously, heading into this weekend.
Yeah, powerful verse. You know, just getting us thinking on what this all means to us, that it was done for all of us, and that we're each accountable, and that we can find that peace and hope in embracing him in light of that sacrifice. So a lot to ponder this Easter weekend.
Definitely. Well, this weekend we get to remember and celebrate perfect love.
Absolutely. Amen. All right. Enjoy the rest of your Good Friday, everybody, and your Easter weekend. I hope it's fantastic. And as always, make sure you check out cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. The Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us, we shall return Monday with more. God bless. We'll see you then.